From the Buffalo Wild Wings on Grape Street in Whitehall, this is RCN Sports Talk Gets Wild, a dine and donate program to benefit the Dream Come True organization. And good evening and welcome, everyone. I'm Chris Michael. Glad you could be with us for the fourth and final special charity event that RCN is doing in cooperation with Buffalo Wild Wings, broadcasting live here tonight to benefit the Dream Come True organization. A portion of all the money raised here tonight will go to that most worthy cause here in the Lehigh Valley. So if you're in the Whitehall area, if you're in the vicinity, come on out here. We have all the NFL games on TV and all these screens. Major League Baseball games going on. The Olympics are going on in full swing. Come on out here. Have some great wings, some great food, some great beverages, and support a local charity. And if you come out in the next hour or two, because I think some of these guys are going to be sticking around after we sign off here tonight, we're going to be talking with some of the sports legends, past, present, and future in the Copley and Whitehall regions. And let me first introduce my co-host tonight. We have a special co-host who also was my partner for about 8 years.
At least.
In the Valiant Stadium press box. Yes. Former Copley coach, former Emmaus baseball coach, yes. And former, what was your title in the press box? Fun and games entertainer or something
basically,
like that?
Basically, that's what it all was. A lot of fun and games we had up there.
It was a lot of fun. Thunder Dan Moyer joining me tonight. And it's special that he is here because the first half of our program, or at least in the first half of the patio area here, we're going to be talking with some very special people with the Copley Sports Program and, of course, Balliot Stadium. From left to right across your screen, we have Ron Hellman, Balliot Stadium Vice President with the Copley Borough Office. And we have Billy Palaha, General Manager at Balliot Stadium. And Gary Gutlieber, who is also one of the Herald members of the Balliot Stadium staff. Gentlemen, thanks so much for coming here and sharing the great experiences of baseball in this community. And, of course, you're very familiar with Balliot Stadium. I want to start with Sam Balliot and ask you guys about who Sam was and about how the stadium started, the program started there, and eventually the stadium was named after him.
I'm the commander of the Legion in Copley. My name's Lawrence Gutlieber. And I got to go back a number of years, and I can find Sam Balliot started playing basketball at Copley. I found some pictures in 1919, 1920. He played on a basketball team. In between there, he was played all the sports. But come the war time in 1941, everybody went off the war. Sam was in his 40s. They had nobody to coach. The state left him coach without a certificate as a teacher. So he came in and he coached baseball, basketball, and football. Mm-hmm. And they started Legion Baseball in 1941. A year later, Sam Balliot took them to the state finals in 1942. They won 7 state titles, and they equaled Boyertown, who was a powerhouse also. One that they won was in 1975. So the boys are working on maybe getting another state title someday.
Yeah, we're going to be talking to some of the current members of the Copley Legion team. Billy, you've been around that stadium and that program for decades. Tell us about how you started working there and what are some of your best memories about Balliot Stadium.
Do we have enough time for that?
Probably not.
I'll start with my best memory. It was 1975. Yep. We were playing Boyertown. We had to beat them twice that Sunday. And we did. The second time was the best time. That's when my son hit the home run to beat Boyertown.
Yeah.
And then we went to Colonial Heights, Virginia for the regionals. We won the first game in Colonial Park, but we lost the next 2 games, though. Yeah. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
The boys, they didn't feel like playing ball that day.
And Brian Palaha, who is the manager now of the Northern Yankees, he plays at Copley. And when I talked with him about the show about 6 weeks ago, he said he'd love to be here. But unfortunately for us, fortunately for him, his team is playing in the Blue Mountain League Championships tonight. So he obviously could not be here. But I know it's fun to host Blue Mountain League Baseball at Balliot Stadium right now.
Chris. See, we taught him everything he knows.
Larry?
Chris, in that championship in 1975, they actually played, Copley actually played 5 games in 48 hours.
Wow.
To win that. I'm only telling you what I was reading on the history, but it said there was 5 games that they had to play.
Well, I thought Billy saw every game that was ever played there.
Yeah.
Back then, pitch counts didn't work. it didn't matter. Everybody was a pitcher, and they pitched until their arms dropped off. So
that was the old school. You could throw 120, 130, doesn't matter. You know.
Yep.
But five games, once you get in the loser's bracket, then you really got to bust your hump.
We're going to continue the Copley Sports Conversation here with these fine gentlemen. Of course, Joe Craig is not with us tonight. He's on vacation. But when you try to find someone to fill in for Joe, you need not just Thunder Dan Moyer, but two people to fill Joe's shoes. Tony Koka is here, and he has some very special guests about some wonderful young people and a young program in the Lehigh Valley that accomplished something very special this summer. Tony?
Hey, guys, I'm much better looking than Joe, so here I am with a bunch of good-looking guys. I'm here with the Lehigh Little League state champion, so it's going to give them that title here. I'm here with Coach John Spinoza. He's going to tell us a little bit about this particular team. 9 and 10-year-old kids?
Yes, sir. Well, 9 and 10-year-old team, we finished number 2 in the state this year. We went through districts, which is about 10 or 11 teams we faced, and went 5-0 through districts. We went to the section tournament, and we went 3-0 in the sections, and then advanced to the state championship with 8 teams less than a state out of about 300 teams. And we were lucky enough to finish number 2 behind another little league in the state.
These young gentlemen that I have in front of me, where are they basically from? How do you compose this team?
We're all from Bethlehem. Most of the team is from Hanover Township and a few from the west side of Bethlehem. So it's all within a few miles from each other.
Guys, I have to ask you guys, you have a lot of fun this season?
Yeah.
All right, that's a resounding yes. Let's talk to a couple. I got one guy here, Evans, right? What position you play, Evans?
Play second base.
Second base, and where did you bat in the order?
8th.
You a power hitter?
Sometimes.
Sometimes, and okay. Where did you play?
Pitcher.
Pitcher, how about giving us your name?
Noah,
and you were a pitcher, and your record, you took these guys to an undefeated season?
Yeah.
Are you big time? Were you the bullpen and the starter?
No, I was the starter most of the
Just
time.
Just the starter most of the time. Name?
JC.
JC, what did you do, JC?
I played shortstop and batted second.
Batted second, use your speed, steal a lot of bases?
Yeah.
Guys, what'd you like most about the season here? Who can tell me what you like most about the season?
Making it to states.
And where was the states held, guys?
Bradford, PA.
Bradford, Pennsylvania. That's out near Pittsburgh, if I'm not mistaken, right? Okay, do you have a lot of fun out there?
Yeah.
Wow, they're saying yeah. And you guys are all going to be back next year, or is this team basically breaking up after this?
They'll break up a little bit. Some of the kids will go to the 11-12 team. Some of the, I think actually they'll all kind of move up. But you never know as far as the next year who will make what team and stuff like that. But I'm not sure exactly all the ages here of all the kids.
For the people out there, this team does not get to Williamsport, am I correct? This is not that age group.
Correct. This is, we go to one step before Williamsport. We'll go to the regionals, and we'll crown a regional champ. And then at that point, it ends. We're at 11 and 12 level. At that point, they move on to the state level, to the Williamsport level.
So tell us about the disheartening. I hate to bring it up, but let's just bring one negative in. This is disheartening last game of the season where you're right there with them.
Well, I tell you, it's not disheartening at all. I mean, these kids, they battled. Every team they played, they battled. And we played a team that's been together for 3 or 4 years. And this team's been, we were together for about a month and a half. So for this team, they beat us 8-2, but we battled them to the very end. And it's for a team to play together for a month and a half and contend against a team that's been together for 4 years is pretty amazing.
And how is your team composed? I mean, who's your leader of this, your general manager?
Leader as far as the kids are concerned. Yeah. It's actually probably my son, JC, who's probably like the most vocal leader on the team. But at that point, like, there's a lot of leaders on this team. There's a lot of kids that just stepped up. We all lead by different ways, and my son was very vocal. But there was a lot of kids, they led by their play. I mean, all 13 of them. They led by either a pitching performance or an at-bat or a fielding play, and they all picked each other up. It was a wonderful group of kids. They all believed. And if you can get a group of kids to believe in one goal, anything's possible, and these kids are testament into that.
I know I coached a lot of sports. You're not only as good as your staff, so how about some kudos for the people that helped you out?
Well, I tell you, Grimaldi Gonzalez, Sean Galgan, and Joe Quirk were my main coaches, and they did a wonderful job. I learned early getting into coaching that you have to surround yourself with some good, pretty good people, and I was lucky that I had those guys and a few other guys, Joe Vasquez and RJ Gearing, a few other guys that really helped me out big time, and it they make me look good, I'll tell you that.
All right, we got to get a few more here. What position did you play? Name?
Nick. I played left field.
Left field?
Yeah.
The whole time?
Yeah.
You're pretty good?
Yeah.
Got a strong arm?
Yep.
Cool. Name?
John Galgon.
And position?
First base.
First base. Name?
Paul Erfel.
Look at the camera.
Paul Erfel. I played third base and batted seventh.
Okay. Name?
Trey Andrea.
Position?
Second base.
Okay. Name?
Jacob Rivera. I played left field and usually batted around sixth for Tommy.
Hey, Chris, I don't know what's going to happen, but maybe one day we're going to be watching Major League Baseball and somebody here is maybe going to be playing on that big diamond somewhere in the American or the National League. Guys, congratulations on a great season. Congratulations. Hope your next season goes as good as this one. I'm sending it back to the table back there. Back to you guys.
All right. Thank you very much, Tony. Great job with those interviews and a great job by that Little League program with a very special accomplishment
job,
this summer.
Tony.
Hope to see you back here next year. Guys, you saw some great memories and some great teams over the years, too. Besides the 75 team, and Dan, you were part of a lot of the teams that played there. I don't know if you want to start off.
I'm just a little disappointed in Billy. I thought the best thing you remember is Chris and I in the press box for all those years. That's what you disappointed me, man.
I'm sorry about that, young fella. I really am.
Oh, but there was a lot. The thing I most remember, it has nothing to do with Copley Legion, Connie Mack, is all the playoff games that were played there. And I remember Brian Schneider hitting a ball that went over the hill at the other end. That was a blast. Oh, look at that.
Oh, wait a minute. Who put that up there?
Does that look familiar, Billy?
No.
It doesn't look familiar to me
that
either.
That picture's from about 1992, 93. Chris and I up at the... When Chris was cutting his teeth on broadcasting.
Yeah. Well, let's skip this and move on to the great teams here.
You mentioned about some of the great players that were there. The Brian Schneider, you had Pat Kelly played there when he played for Caddy. Yeah.
Joe Namath.
That's right. In 1957.
Yep. You can't forget Kurt Simmons, and we had Davey Lefty Schneck played there. Oh, yeah. All made the majors.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget Gunkowski, Gunner.
Gunner, that's right.
And Deitch.
Mike Deitch.
Yeah, he played some.
I think he's here tonight, actually.
John Schreiner.
John Schreiner played at Penn State.
Kansas City Royals for a while.
That's right.
He was signed with Kansas, I think.
Yeah. There was tons of players that came through in the showcases they had up there. There was all kinds of talent that came through that. It was an honor to play at Valiant Stadium when you got there.
Trivial question: how many years that field has been there? Not to say a baseball field, but a sports field is up there. It's 110 years. 1906, I believe, is as far I can go back and I can figure out. It was 110 years that they had some kind of team play there. And I think the first team was 1908. They had a baseball team.
Okay, now my question for you is, when was the first horse race ran there?
I don't know that either,
but the track is still there.
Especially in the summertime when it doesn't rain.
Yes.
Really,
and you know it's there now.
Yeah. Well, I want to get back to some of these players too. When you saw the Brian Schneiders and Kurt Simmons and those guys, and Ron, we'll get to you in a minute. I know you want to be here for the fun right here,
but no problem.
I want to ask these guys. Did you know then how good those players were going to be when you saw them in 9th and 10th grades?
Absolutely.
Really?
Well, I mean, the best player that I can remember is Chris Rayburn. Chris Rayburn, yep. And he's still in Whitehall High School. Yeah. He's a coach there. And another guy, Bett. I forget his first name. Not Pat Bett, the other Bett. Them two people, during the season, they came after the game on a Saturday or a Sunday, and they were in a cage every day in the summer. They were two dedicated players, and it helped Chris Raver. He was signed by the Yankees.
All right, we're going to continue our great sports and baseball conversation here in the Copley and Whitehall region. We have more special guests coming up. And again, we hope you come out here to Buffalo Wild Wings to support the Dream Come True organization, our final Dine and Donate program in cooperation with Buffalo Wild Wings and RCN. We'll be back with more of tonight's show in just a moment. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk Gets Wild, our fourth and final show of the summer. We're happy to be here to raise money for the Dream Come True organization, and we've been proud to be part of several great charitable events throughout the summer with our special shows here, and we're going to have some more programs coming up on remote locations coming up in the next few weeks. Check with the RCN TV website for more information. Here at the desk, we're dealing with some special people with the Copley sports community. Larry Gutlieber and Bill Palaha from Balliet Stadium, and Ron Hellman, who's the Balliet Stadium Vice President with the Copley Borough. Ron, I know you want to talk about some of the great work that's going on right now and a lot of the fundraising efforts that you and so many other people are a part of at Balliet Stadium.
Yes, we all got together, the whole team, all the officers and whatnot, and a lot of people in the community helping out. We redid our snack stand. It's top notch, and we have help from Coca-Cola and Iron Pigs donated cash, and also Coca-Cola donated a nice big scoreboard, and we're waiting for that to be erected. So everybody's a little busy right now, but it should be up within the next couple weeks.
And you're having fundraising efforts that, you know, you'd like to reach out to the community and get them involved as well. How can people contact you?
We have you could email me at rhellman@copleyborough.org. We do have, we're a 501c3 nonprofit organization, mm-hmm. so all the donations are 100% write off. We have signs, banners you can put in the outfield, 4x8. We have some hoagie sales, we're working on other stuff. We're also looking for any help. Contribution from anybody to come out and help us. We don't turn anybody away. That's what's making us grow, bring it back to the great stadium it was before.
Yeah, Billy and Larry, how excited are you guys for all these new innovations and trying to bring back a lot of games to Balliet Stadium?
Well, we had this year Central Catholic High School played their home games and the JVs, and we had two teams played Connie Mack, we had the American Legion, and we had three adult leagues. So we were quite busy. We started in March and we're still going because we have a game tomorrow. So we'll be prepping the field tomorrow for the Blue Mountain League, the playoffs with Limeport. So it's been a busy season for the people that work up there. And like you say, we're always looking for extra help, even if just to cut the infield or put the lines down.
Yeah, I know Billy told me to cut the grass there yesterday.
Well, yeah, Bill's been there for, he claims, it keeps going down. It was 40 years, he said, he's been there. And then somebody else talks to him, it goes down to 30 years or 35.
I got one quick story. When I used to be a coach and up at the press box, I came down one time, they needed help with the field. I start raking the field. He said, "You're not doing it right." Never touched the field again.
And by the way, we do have permission. We will keep it Balliet Stadium, but we do have permission to change the field. Mm-hmm. We can name the field at anybody that has the right.
Moyer Michael field?
Who?
Moyer Michael?
Let's quickly change the conversation here. Speaking of some of the great players at Balliet Stadium, the Copley Legion team that had a very successful regular season is here and among our guests here at the Buffalo Wild Wings Dine and Donate program. And Tony Koch is standing by with Jim Murphy, the manager, and some of the players from this year's team.
Hey, guys, you could have picked a cooler night to do this, but we're here in baseball season, and I'm with Jim Murphy right now. And Jim is the manager of the Copley/Fullerton Legion team. So this is the first year this team has been combined, correct?
Yes, this is the first year the two teams merged together, and it's been a very successful year. The boys have played well together, and I've been proud of them all year. It's been a pleasure to play at Balliet Stadium, and we represented them very well this year, I believe.
So basically what you have right now is you're using the Whitehall High School baseball team. That most of the young gentlemen that are playing for you probably play that baseball, and it's going to make you a lot more competitive in a very competitive league.
Oh, without the Whitehall team, the way this last year went, it's a you couldn't make a much more stronger team because these ball players are all good ball players. They played hard all year, and they represented the high school well, and they represented the American Legion well.
I followed in papers, obviously. I didn't get to see that many games live. I saw one or two, believe it or not. But during the season, you had a very successful run up until you got into the playoffs. But that's a different story for a different time. But let's talk about the regular season and how it sort of progressed on you.
Well, when the season first started, we really didn't know what to expect when you're putting two teams together. But I've had some great pitching from Alex Brunio, Austin Dreisbach, Zach Gilbin, and another boy named Shepard. And between those four, our team really rolled this year. We had some great hitters, so you can't do anything wrong when you have a team like that.
I got some players over here, and again, guys, we're going to introduce yourself. Tell us what position you play.
I'm Zach Gilbert, and I'm a pitcher and a first baseman.
Zach Hampshire, shortstop. Alex Bernio, first base, outfield, pitcher.
Eric Smith, pitcher.
Austin Dreisbach, catcher and pitcher.
Bryce Crum, outfield.
So, guys, what was it like going from a high school season and then jumping right into playing Legion ball? Was it sort of did it conform right away? Did you just carry on? Let's start right here.
Yeah, it was a good transition. We kind of had a little anger coming out of baseball season because we didn't do as well as we wanted to. So, and I think that's what made us so good in the regular season.
Did you find that for the first time it wasn't Copley versus Fullerton? Because I did coach Fullerton Legion a long time ago, and I remember there was that rivalry. So now you combine, it had to be a great experience to just continue.
Yeah, you know, it was a really good experience. You know, just, you know, converging the two of us, it really just made us play together and work as more of a team and just compete.
So now that you're Fullerton Copley rivalry's gone, where's the rivalry right now?
Probably just both Parkland teams still. That's what?
Northern Valley.
Northern Valley.
Northern Valley, is that what, Northern Lehigh, is that up in that area, or is that that's from? And obviously Parkland's always a nemesis to everybody. Everyone in Whitehall just doesn't like Parkland, right?
Oh yeah, I hate Parkland. Oh
my God. You sure you want to use that word, but that's okay.
That's all right.
So, you playing any ball right now or in football? Are you playing football or are you in any more baseball?
Well, Legion was the last baseball I've been to play for a while. Until next season, I'll probably pick up Legion again. It's a fun, relaxing time, so may as well. It's a fun time.
And you played all your home games up at Copley this year?
Yes.
Well, tell us a little bit about it here. Tell us about the field.
It's a really nice field. There's a lot of guys that spend their hours working out there and making it better. And yeah, it's good. It's fun playing there.
Everybody thinks when you're on TV, it's real easy. I can say this and I can say that, so it's there. So what's the team look like for next year, Jim?
I believe next year the team will be just as strong as it was this year. Most of the ball players are all coming back again, and I'm looking to a real good season next year with them.
Question, do you sit down with Sean at Whitehall and go through strategy that he has? Do you basically continue that program, or do you put your own tweaks in there?
What I do with Sean is basically he gives me his ball players, and he more or less tells me where they've played, what type of hitters they are, and we talk about, you know, what's best for the high school and the American Legion, so we try to merge them together where I can get some of the boys that are going to play in their position the next year. Like Gilbert wants to play first next year, so I worked him at first base with the American Legion plus Adam Pitch. And we talk about that during the year to see which is, you know, make the both teams stronger. He helps me as far as, like, the boys coming out to play, and I help him by keeping his boys playing.
Any kudos out there for your staff?
I had a great coaching staff this year from Jeff Sheeran and Vinny Cuvo. They were with me all year long. Never had any static at all during the season, and as coaches, I'd recommend them for anyone.
Hey, guys, we've gone from a Little League team that went out to the state title. We come here to the Legion team that was right there in the mix for the state title. Baseball here in the Lehigh Valley, here in Whitehall, is alive and well. But Chris, back to you at the table.
All right, thank you very much, Tony. Great job with those interviews, as always. Guys, I just want to talk to you about the Legion season. You had a Connie Mack team in there, and how fun was it to watch summertime baseball this year and have a team do so well?
Well, Chris,
I saw more baseball this past year than I think I saw in 65 years. And I'm a little older than that, but in 65 years I saw more baseball. And we have a gentleman that comes up and helps us up at the field once in a while. And he's not a baseball fan. And he said he saw more baseball in 75 years than he saw, I mean, this thing than he saw in 75 years. But I enjoyed it. I kept busy. And I was there at night. I was there in the morning. Sometimes I have 4 hours off to take a nap in the afternoon. And my wife didn't have to look far to find me. She knew where I was at all times.
Yeah. Ron, I mean, that's got to be special, too, to have all these sports programs there, and that's part of your fundraising efforts is to bring more and more baseball games back to Balliet Stadium.
It's great. It's great for the community, and it's just nice to have all the baseball, just to bring the activity back to Copley. It's well-deserved. Kudos out to all our volunteers, all the officers, everybody up at the field. A lot of work on repairing the field. It really pays off. We get compliments all over the place on how nice the field is turning out.
Billy, did you mind working so much this summer?
No, I don't mind it. But I must say one thing. I had to give my other half all the credit in the world. Without her, I wouldn't be up there. But she'd go through a lot.
Yeah, she's very dedicated.
Being up there, yes, yeah. Yeah.
You know, speaking of dedication, Larry, you were talking with us during one of the breaks there with some of the other people. I don't know if we're going to get these guys on camera or not, but, you know, there's so many great stories about Copley Sports and so many former baseball players that would go in and put in the extra effort and go early in the morning and work out. What are some of those stories that you recall as far as those real diehard dedicated players over the years?
Well, the one boy that was just interviewed here and stuff, Brunio, Alex, his dad used to bring him up every day. And his dad came up every day and worked on the field by himself. We didn't ask him. He'd go fix the batter's box up there for in the batter's cage. And he'd bring his boy up every day. And he would hit a bucket of balls. His father had pitched to him. And you could see it in the games when the games were played, what he did. And the extra effort that he put out was paid off in the games. You know?
Yeah, the more you put into the game, the more you get out of it. That's for certain.
That's right.
You know, I want to ask all four of you guys. It's a special place. I mean, you can go to other places in the Lehigh Valley and watch a baseball game. There is something special about that, especially when they had lights, but even, you know, with some of the Blue Mountain League games I was at this year, it's a special place. Can you, in 30 seconds or so, just kind of touch on why that place is so special from, you know, any other baseball field?
If I could say something quick, it's... I think what helps is how close, when you come to watch a game, you're right there, right behind the backstop, right behind the catcher. Every seat is a great seat, first base, third base side. It's a real warm feeling.
Larry and Billy?
It's a dedication from the people way before us, though, too. They really helped it out, like Pat Podorsky and then Wright.
The whole Podorsky family.
They
ran it
family.
For so many years.
They put a lot of time in there.
Oh, yeah.
Put a lot of time. Dennis coached. Judy was up there. Put a lot of. The whole family put a lot of time in there.
Yep.
And we talk about families. I was asked Bill, I said, what's the biggest family that played ball up there? The Moonshine family. they had 11 or 12, and I think maybe 7 or 8 of them played baseball up there and play Legion ball.
One thing you said about a family, when you become a part of Balliet Stadium, that's a family in itself.
It was a family.
A great family.
See, Chris, when I was growing up, I was actually maybe 5 foot tall. I wasn't that big. I couldn't get in. I didn't play. I didn't play that much, but I was up there all the time.
Yeah.
We used to play home run ball. You practically lived there. Mm-hmm. Because Joe Steiner, when he was there, when Joe was alive, he had the summer programs. You were always up playing ball or doing something there at the field. There was always something going on.
It's another great name.
Yeah.
Larry, Billy, and Ron, thanks so much for joining
us. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for
sharing these
great memories here, and we hope people will go out and support all the fundraising efforts that you're doing. One more time, the email address, Ron?
rhellman@burlcopley.org.
All right.
Thank you, Chris. I want to thank you for having us here.
It was our pleasure.
Our pleasure.
We're going to come back. We have more special guests here at Buffalo Wild Wings out in the patio. We'll see who we can get on camera here and share some great stories about summertime baseball right after this.
Hairstyling for tonight's program has been provided by Barry Acid and Crowning Glory Haircutters, located on Main Street in Whitehall, just off the top of Eagle Point. Call 610-261-1630 for an appointment.
Welcome back. RCN Sports Talk Gets Wild, our final Dine and Donate program for the summer. Tonight, benefiting the Dream Come True organization, we're talking baseball, summertime baseball in the Whitehall-Copley region. And we have some special guests here throughout the patio. We're trying to get some more guests for Tony over at the other end of the patio. And in the meantime, we have some special guests right here at the RCN table. Let's welcome in Sean O'Boyle, current Whitehall baseball coach, former Copley player, and Mike Brocious, who's on the Copley Board of Directors and the Central Catholic baseball coach. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Before we talk about Copley and the summertime baseball, though, you both had excellent seasons. Mike, I'll start with you. I think this was about as competitive an EPC / LVC season I saw overall. It seemed like everyone was beating everyone else, and of course your team did very well. Could you talk a little bit about your season?
Yeah, absolutely. The league was very good this year, and our division is incredibly tough.
Yeah.
I mean, with Parkland, Whitehall, Emmaus, us, Northampton, and Nazareth, they all made districts. So I think we were kind of seasoned a little bit to playing those teams twice.
Yeah.
And then we just happened to get hot at the right time at the end of the year and kind of rolled into it, you know, kind of upset Easton and, you know, in the first day of playoffs and kind of rolled with that.
Sean, you know, that division we've talked about in a couple different sports, but I mean, for baseball, you have six really solid teams there. Was that fun to play in that division and see that competition night in and night out?
It's always fun to play in that division. You know, when you look back, we were 5-5 in the division, and we wound up 11-5 overall in the league. So that goes to show you how tough that division was. There wasn't an easy win, that's for sure. So, yeah, we like it.
It's fun when you play a division like that when you're winning. Sometimes it's tough when you're losing, but it. The better the competition you play makes you a better team in the long run. That's what
Absolutely.
I always found out.
Sure.
Yeah, I agree with that
sure.
as well.
And both of you are in the smaller schools. You don't have the size of a Liberty and Freedom in Easton. And, you know, luckily the weather I don't think was too bad in the spring, if memory serves. But, I mean, if you get backed up with rain outs, you need pitchers, and then you have the pitch limits and inning limits and sometimes with pitch counts. I mean, that's kind of tough. And yet Central and Whitehall, year in and year out, you're right there battling with the bigger schools. That's got to be, you know, a nice accomplishment when you can have success against those guys.
Yeah, you always try. I mean, at least my philosophy is you always have to try to find five. you have to find five and have number six ready. So, you know, that usually pans out pretty well for us.
Yeah, we were lucky. We didn't have too many rain outs or snow outs like we have some years. And so we didn't get backed up, and we were able to kind of go with three pitchers. And we had three pitchers, and we kind of went through them all year. So it worked out for us weather-wise this year.
All right, we're going to continue the conversation with Sean and Mike in just a moment. Tony Koch is standing by with some very special people who have accomplished a few things when it comes to baseball here in the Whitehall community. Tony?
Hey, guys, we're going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to go away from the Little League. We're going to go away from the Legion. We're going to go dipping back in time. We're going to go back to 1980. I got two Whitehall, former Whitehall baseball players that played on a championship team that ended up, what, third in the state back then?
Third in the state in 1980 and District 11 champ that year. We beat Freedom 4-1 in the district final.
So you guys didn't play Legion ball, but you played high school ball, and you both played for Coach Steiner. Correct?
We both played for Coach Joe. I played Legion for Fullerton, actually, Copley's arch nemesis, but Beat didn't play for Copley that year, no. Both played for Coach Joe Steiner, though.
So tell me a little bit about it. I taught with Coach Steiner, and I know what Joe was like back in those days, so tell me a little bit about his, Pete, we'll go to you first, a little bit of his idiosyncrasies, because he was a heck of a coach.
He was a great coach, Coach Steiner, Coach Serretta, very fundamental. We would bunt, we would squeeze, we would have chalkboard about who would cover what bases, our relay throws. If it rained and we weren't out in the field, we would have chalkboard sessions like football teams to go over relays and cutoffs. We were always moving up runners. We weren't a great hitting team that year, But we had great pitching, and we produced runs. We would win games 4-1, 4-2, just by the way of the style of play that we had.
One of the things I remember about Coach Steiner was he always called you a bunch of knuckleheads. So what was your give me some memories that you had there, Tim.
I had tremendous respect for the guy. He could call us anything he wanted. He wouldn't let us out on the field for weeks until we got everything down and deserved the right to get out on the field. He was very, actually, he has a very calm demeanor out there. He'd stand out there on third base. You'd hardly know the guy was there. As soon as something went wrong, though, you know, he had the ability to say the right words, knucklehead being one of them, to really to get his point across. Tremendous guy, very ethical. He taught us not only the game of baseball, but you know, he spent a lot of time trying to turn us into, you know, to men. And I think that might have been the most important part of what he was doing there.
Sorry about that. I don't know if you see a lot of high school baseball, but in your mind, how do you think high school baseball has changed since 1980, as here we are like 25 years later?
I think fundamentally we may have been a little more sound. I think we spent a lot more time in the youth leagues and coming up. Practicing the basics. There was not a person in our lineup up and down that didn't know how to bunt, didn't know the infield fly rule, didn't know the finer nuances of the game. So that would, I think, that and maybe respect for the game were the biggest differences that I see from then to now. Nothing to take away from the kids today. Just there was a little different back then.
Beat, how about you? What do you see different today? I mean, you work with us at football games. You see the difference in the athletes on the field. How about your take on what you're seeing in high school sports today, especially in the game of baseball?
In 1980, our team, we had 23 players on the team. No one quit. We had seven seniors, a sophomore, and a junior. And the year before, Tim, myself, and Stevie Widener were the only ones that actually got playing time our junior year. Our team waited their time to be seniors. Now teams don't carry 23 players on the team, or if they did, the kids would quit. We got inducted to Whitehall's Hall of Fame 2 years ago, and out of the 23 people that were on the team, 22 showed up that night, so we were still a team, a tight team. The only person that was not able to make it was Ron Madouse, who had passed away.
Wow, that's telling me something there. Again, when you dealt with Coach Steiner, you dealt with the spring season, and what's impressed you the most about Coach Steiner?
I think his dedication to fundamentals, ethics. It was always God, family, team. You know what I mean? School, team. He stressed the importance of being well-rounded young men, the ethics of baseball, the appreciation and respect for the game and for each other. When we grew up, maybe a little different from today, Copley used to shut down on a Friday night when it was a Legion game. Baseball was part of our fabric. I can still remember the smell of grass, the smell of my mitt. It was an ingrained part of sort of the fabric of our youth and fabric of our lives. And everybody was like that. So I think we were blessed to grow up in an era like that, to play under a coach like Joe Steiner. Remember Sammy Balliet. You know, we grew up having the opportunity to see guys like Sammy Balliet, coach, and all the great players that came through Whitehall. So I have nothing but fond memories of my youth and of my teens playing baseball in Whitehall.
I got to ask both of you, still have your baseball glove?
Yes, I do.
Still have your baseball glove?
No, I don't. I lost it in one of those beer league softball games.
You know what? I always tell my kids, when I die, you get the house and my baseball glove. That's all I get because I'm spending all the other money.
Had I known we were going to be here and doing this tonight, I think I'm the only one on the team that still has my baseball hat.
Hey, guys, talking to two players that played for Joe Steiner in the 80s. Hey, Chris, back to you. Let's talk some more baseball up there at the table. Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you very much, Tony. Before our break, Mike, I know, has to run here, so I just want to get your thoughts. With Copley, they're doing a lot of fundraising events, trying to bring a lot of people back. What was it like having your team play there, and what's it like trying to bring baseball back to Balliol?
We were happy to be involved with it with Central. When I first started, we were at Jordan Park. So this is a huge upgrade for us. And the volunteers they have now and the committee members, they really have the place heading in the right direction. So we're happy to be, you know, a part of it for the next how many years. We had our summer league team up there, a fall league, and then, you know, our Central in the spring. So we're really happy to be part of it, and I think it's headed in the right direction.
Yeah. Well, Mike, thanks for joining us. I know we're late for a break, so you have to run. We have to run. Sean, we're going to continue our conversation with you right after the timeout, and we'll be back with our final segment of tonight's RCN Sports Talk in just a moment. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, our final segment broadcasting live from Buffalo Wild Wings this summer. We're joined here at the table, along with Thunder Dan Moyer. We have Sean O'Boyle, former Copley player and current Whitehall head baseball coach. And Sean would like to introduce our guest here at the table. You want to introduce Pepper here?
I'm not quite sure I'll do you justice here, but joining us at the table is Pepper Martin. He's a big part of Balliol Stadium. And my father-in-law, so be good to him.
So I was going to ask you, who gives the most advice? Do you give him advice on the groundskeeping at Balliol Stadium, or Pepper, do you give Sean advice about managing baseball games?
I think I do most of that.
You know, I want to ask you guys.
He only tells me when I do things wrong.
Is that the way it is, though?
Yeah.
You guys have spent a lot of time around Copley. And, you know, I asked this question earlier to Billy and Larry in particular, and Ron as well. Why is that place so special?
Well, the one thing I can say about it, in the 60s, starting in the early 60s, I coached knee-high football at Hakandakwa, and we utilized that facility, the lights, for practice, and we had several games up there, which really brought our program around. But now, after I retired from work and got a job with Mr. Plaha at the ball field.
Is it an actual job?
Trust me.
The pay is terrific.
It's work, yeah.
But, yeah, other than that, I did play as a freshman for Sammy Balliol, and I did manage to get a release as a freshman, thanks to Mr. Bill Heller.
Wow. A release. That's something else back in those days.
Yes, that was. That was, yes.
Well, what was it like to play for Sam Balliol? Could you kind of put us in, you know, I've heard about the name, never met him, though, but, you know, what was it like to know the man and see him as a coach?
Well, I'll tell you about Sam Balliol. If he wasn't winning by 11 or 12 runs, he just wouldn't give up. I mean, and it just wasn't fair, but yeah, he had some great teams there. Yes.
And Sean, what was it like to play for Copley? I mean, you were one of those heyday years in which, you know, they were right at the top or at the top of the standings and in the playoffs, and everyone was out to beat them too.
Well, honestly, I played for Fullerton way back in the day, but I coached at Copley.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So the last Connie Mack championship there, it's just a great place to be a part of. I mean, when you talk about a family atmosphere, you can go up there I drive by to go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning, and you got five guys up there either working on the field, sitting at the table playing cards. You drive by at 8 o'clock at night when you're coming home, there's players up there after a game. There's always someone there. It's a fun thing to be a part of.
So the Pinochle game's still going on?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, and you talk about Billy Plaha working for Billy. Yeah, you work for him because he stands there and goes, you do that, you do that, you do that. You and Louie go through a lot up there, I know.
Yeah. Yeah, Louie is, I'm sorry, he couldn't make it here tonight, but he had other commitments.
That's
but he is one of our great workers up there. Yeah, Louie runs the grass machine. Yeah, he does a heck of a job.
And the field itself has kind of gone in some different directions over the years. I remember a few years ago, a lot of the southern teams were having the grass over towards the baseline and growing the grass longer. And then Billy said, this is a new way of doing things. We're going to do that. And then you had to change everything around.
Guess who gave him that idea?
Oh, was it you?
It was me.
Billy never told me that.
No, he won't. He'll never give me credit for much.
So, go ahead, Chubb. Were you going to say something?
No. They do a great job. I mean, if there's anyone that needs a lot of credit for what's going on at Sammy Balliet Stadium, you know, which is a lot of good things. It's the guys, they call them the old timers, but I'll tell you what, they'll outwork me any day. Yeah. Between Pepper, Bill, Louie, Flip and Ron, they bust their butts up there.
How excited are you about all the changes? I know the scoreboard, last time I was there, the scoreboard was coming. They were hoping to have it in June, and then it was July, but I know they're excited about a lot of the refurbishments and the new different stands, and the refreshment stand has gotten an overhaul. How excited about all those new innovations there?
I mean, it's the scoreboard's there.
Is it there now?
Yeah, it's not up, but we're just waiting to get the holes dug to put the beams in. But it was a very generous donation by Coca-Cola, and that's what you need to get this thing going again is donations, people donating their time, and a lot of people have helped out, and like I said, that's what you need to get this up and going.
By the way, before you ask your question, Dan, you and your family have donate a lot of hours there too, and and Bonnie and everyone have just done yeoman's work over
these
years.
That's what I was going to say. The snack stand, not only well, my wife put a lot of hours in there. When I left, they missed her. Then they missed her more than they missed me. But I'll tell you, a family atmosphere like you would not believe. I mean, the thing I miss most about that stadium is going home at night. You didn't know if there was a game. Look in the sky. Oh, the lights are on. Let's go in for a hot dog if you didn't happen to be working that night. But, the memories from that place.
Yeah. I mean, baseball's changed. We've talked a lot on this show about how baseball has changed the upper levels and even at some degree at the high school level. Is it still as fun to go and watch baseball games nowadays? And, you know, Sean, I know you're working during the high school games, too, and you're worried about your players and your teams and everything you have to go through. But could you just talk about how baseball has changed overall, and is it still as fun as it used to be?
I wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't. If I could put on a uniform, I would. But last time I put one on, I got hurt. It's the same thing. It's a fun game. It's a fun game to coach. It was a great game to play. And like I said, when I get tired of it, I'll get out. But I'll probably be dead before that ever happens.
Pepper, how about for you? Is it still as much fun to sit up there and watch the baseball games?
Oh, yeah. I enjoy it immensely. The thing is, you don't have the kids and you don't have the competition that you had years ago. Mm-hmm. In fact, you could see it with the younger crowd. I mean, the knee-high teams are... They're sparse. Not like it was years ago. You know, I can remember when I was a kid. I mean, every town in the township, you know, had a playground of their own, and that's where it really started out. You know, when I was a kid, with your playground league, you know, and you don't see much of that anymore, you know. And
that's another show we could do on why the kids aren't playing. Has to do a lot with.
Right.
High school sports, different coaches don't want them playing sports, but that's a whole nother show in itself. But you're right. I was just telling my grandson the other day, we used to go out to the park, pick up games. You don't see that anymore.
No.
You just don't see that anymore.
Yeah, you're right.
Sean, is it harder to reach kids nowadays with baseball? Because, you know, football and basketball are more glamorous. It's on ESPN a lot. You know, is it harder to kind of reach out to the kids and teach fundamentals and the hardcore baseball stuff?
No, I don't think so. As you said, Whitehall's a small school. We want them to play multiple sports.
Yeah.
Like we encourage that.
We have several multiple sport players. I love that.
That's the way it should be.
It's the way it should be. You're right. Yeah, I mean, you're in high school. Enjoy high school. Play all you can play. Our number's down a little bit. They might be down a little bit. But looking at what's coming up and looking at the talent level, because I was actually down at the Little Leagues a lot this year. The talent level at the lower levels, the biddy, the midget, they're good, yeah. And there's a lot of them. Numbers might be down, talent certainly isn't, but as far as pure numbers, it goes in spurts.
Yeah. Let me say that I like that. Head coach for a high school team goes down, look at the Little League program. Commend you for that. Not many do. Congratulations. Yeah. Good job.
I was going to ask you a little bit as we get to the end of our program to look ahead to next year. How's your baseball team looking?
We return a lot of good players. We lose a couple real good ones.
Yeah.
you lose a Gianni and you lose Austin Dreisbach and, DJ Lakey, and I'm going to forget a couple, and I apologize, Jared Miller. But you lose guys like that, but we return all five pitchers. That's good.
That's a huge, huge benefit.
And four of them have been pitching. This will be their third year. Other than Bruneo, this will be his fourth year. If we can find some hitting, we'll be okay.
All right. Sean and Pepper, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank
Thunder Dan, thanks for being the co-host along with Tony Coca. Good to be your partner again.
Yep, same here.
And this will be it for our summer sports programming. Next week we'll start high school football. 3 big hours of high school previews starting next Thursday at 7 p.m. and on the RCN website as well. For everyone at RCN, I'm Chris Michael. Good night, everyone.